We feel so blessed that you've decided to join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. In the studio is Carrie and Tara and myself, Sandy, and we are discussing Luke 23 and the crucifixion of Jesus. And, you know, we've talked about the glory of God and how we have to choose to accept that and look for it and have it revealed to us. And, you know, we talked about the control of glory and how Jesus could control that through all that mockery and meanness from everybody and the crowd. And now we're going to go on and we're going to talk about the glory surrendered and the glory sentenced.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's such a beautiful thing, and that we had started off with the definition that glory is the willingness to overlook a fault and to not have strife with another. And Jesus is definitely modeling that. Mm-hmm. And Pilate and Herod and the crowd and the religious leaders, they're not. And we talked about the fact that glory is revealed. It's the presence of God, and that it's made available for us to see. We just have to be willing to see it. So now what we're going to do is we're going to read verses 26 through, I think we had said,
43.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll start from there. And go ahead, Carrie.
Okay. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid him on the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Mm-hmm. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him saying, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
I love that.
It's beautiful. Okay, so we have seen that his glory is controlled, and now we're looking at the glory surrendered and the glory that's sentenced. And I want us just to, real quick, let's just go through, what do we see about Jesus? What are some character qualities you see showing up in him? Because we've looked at Herod and Pilate and the crowd and the religious leaders. Now, what are we seeing in Jesus?
I see him showing his love again. He's, you know, mm-hmm. talking to the people. He's encouraging and warning them, you know, of what's to come. And, you know, through all that pain, he's still teaching.
It blows my mind.
It blows my mind, too.
Yeah.
Because that was a devastating.
He's interceding. He's asking God to forgive them when they're.
And the women that are weeping, telling them,
look past their faults, just like we talked about.
Yeah. He says, you know, it's going to be worse. Right now, this is, I'm just the green tree, you know, more is to come. And so he has taken the time to, he didn't respond to the questions, and he didn't respond to the mockery, but he sought to bless the one who was weeping. And he sought to bless the one that called out to him. So do you see how the ones that were glory seekers, was a response?
The women,
the ones
very
who
much
saw
so.
Him for what he was, there was a response.
Exactly. So within those 12 hours up to this point, between 9 p.m. Thursday and 9 a.m. Friday, these are the things that Jesus suffered. He suffered the emotional stress of the Garden Gethsemane, And we know that he had, what is the word? Hematidrosis is it's called when they
blood.
Sweat blood. Mm-hmm. He suffered the emotional stress because the disciples all abandoned him. they couldn't stay awake. They weren't praying when he told them, you know, guard against temptation, and then mm-hmm. they fled. He suffered the physical beating in the home of the high priest. He didn't sleep that night. Mm-mm. And I don't know why I had never thought about it, but in that time frame, he hadn't been given food or water. Mm-hmm. Usually they don't do that for prisoners. And the likelihood that he would have had food and water is pretty slim. So mm-hmm. from the time the trials began to the time he's going, so he would have been dehydrated, mm-hmm. he would have been hungry, mm-hmm. And then the lack of sleep because all they were putting him through. And then he was being forced to walk long distances with that beating upon him. So he's had his heart, his mind, and his body
beaten down.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he's getting ready for the scourging. And the worst of it is that when Pilate says, I'm going to chastise him, that word for us today, at least in the English language, chastise, mm-hmm. it does not have the definition of what he was about to be a scourging is, right. You know, the ball with knives, sharp glass or sharp rocks.
Like excruciating
yes,
pain.
Yes, where they slice the back. It's like the word chastise is just bad word. In fact, they said the scourging was legal preliminary to every Roman execution. And only women and Roman senators or soldiers were exempt from this. But their goal when they would give a scourge was to weaken the victim to the state to short collapse of death. They would repeatedly strike with the iron balls and would cause deep contusions with leather thongs, and sharp sheep bones would cut into the skin, into the deep tissue. And then as the flogging continued, it would tear down their underlying skeletal muscles, causing ribbons of bleeding flesh. The blood and pain and the loss generally would cause the person to go into what they would call circulatory shock. Mm-hmm. And most victims, a lot of them, wouldn't even make it to the cross. That's how horrible
that makes
his
sense.
Word chastise mm-hmm. was his right. response for this innocent man.
That shows you again that Jesus is in control of this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen.
Right. And then I found out that the cross typically weighed 300 pounds.
Really?
And that the crossbeam, they said, would on average be 75 to 125 pounds. And so it totally makes sense why he could not mm-hmm, bear yeah. under the weight of it, and that they had to pull in Simon, the mm-hmm. Cyrene, to come in and carry it. And so that's just nuts, all that encompasses. And then thinking through, okay, he's talking to the women and the great multitude of the girls that are crying. They're coming along. They had mourners. There were kind of like the concept of a paid mourner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And commentators believe that this was legitimate. These were women who truly were mourning for mm-hmm. Christ.
That followed him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. This wasn't a paid parade, so to speak. And so let's look at the two thieves they have at the cross. All right, at this point, let's think on this. I really want you to get this. Okay, first, the word crucifixion. Did you know that the word excruciating comes from crucifixion?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had not caught that ever before in my life. And I just caught that in the last 24 hours. I'm like, how did I miss that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the breathing is minimal. And it's very painful because it's, what is it called? Asphyxiated, when mm-hmm. a person can't breathe.
Yeah.
And so to talk, it's excruciating for them to be able to speak. Yeah. So every time one of them speaks, you have to understand they are causing excruciating pain mm-hmm. upon their bodies
mm-hmm.
because they have to work extra hard to talk.
Mm-hmm.
What did the two criminals talk about?
Well, they were mocking him.
Okay.
At first.
Why? Like,
yeah.
You're in pain.
Why? Yeah.
Why would you spend what you had
to mock.
To mock. Like, I'm thinking the hatred is so deep within the heart.
Yeah.
That I'm reminded in Matthew and the Beatitudes, it says, when you call your sin light, oh, how dark the darkness is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that so that when we take that which is sinful and we call it light, that means that the dark is really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, for somebody on the cross who's in excruciating pain and about to eternally be gone,
mm-hmm.
to spend that breath.
That energy, yeah, that, yeah.
Hmm. That breath. Hmm. And then all of a sudden, what do we have?
The other one rebuked him.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It just kind of turned.
Mm-hmm. It was like, and it's beautiful that he used the rebuke.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So talk to me about the rebuke.
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
He's recognizing Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's asking to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
If you go into your kingdom, will you take, pretty much take me with you. And mm-hmm. Jesus says,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this one, because there's so many people, well, not a lot of people, but I have had people say to me, oh, that person will never be saved. You know, they give up on him, and it might be a family. And I said, what about the cross?
Mm-hmm.
What about the sinner on the cross with Jesus? That was his last breath. He was forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's so beautiful.
So everybody
can
be forgiven.
Well, Scripture makes it clear that both of them mocked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But we have the one that moves, and he starts to change his thought process. And so the actual words that he gives, so he shows a respect for Christ. Mm-hmm. So remember what happens for a person who wants glory? They have to have a desire for it, and they have a desire for not to have strife and to overlook. And so he's turning from darkness to light. Mm-hmm. He's bringing forth glory. He acknowledged his own sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're under, we deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
He does not. And so he acknowledges his own sin. He knew that Jesus was an innocent man. And so he knew who Jesus was and acknowledged who Jesus was. He calls out to Jesus.
Calls him Lord.
And he says, Lord.
Yeah, so right there is really a big step.
He goes from mocker to
Lord.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows that he's believing, because he says, will you please take me into your kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And he believes that everlasting life. I don't remember which commentator, it may have been Guzik, that said, we don't know what happened in those minutes or seconds, because the timing of when this occurs on the time they're on the cross, we don't know.
Yeah.
But at some point, this guy is there, and he's moved from mocker to, holy wow, wait, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And he took an eternal shift.
Mm-hmm.
And one, as Sandy said, it should give us all hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
don't give up on anybody.
We don't know what's going to cause that eternal shift.
That's right. Or, when it's going to take place. Just an instant. Because it could be on their deathbed.
Nobody was evangelizing him.
No.
No.
Nobody. No. Yeah. There was no, you need to da 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 da. But literally, salvation took hold, and he believed. And I just wrote down in my notes, I'm like, this is such a beautiful process of life change.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say, you're listening and you have not come to the place where you believed, it is one, you need to recognize, you need to respect God for who God is, acknowledge your sin in the process of knowing that your sin has done it. Know who Jesus is. Know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Call out to him. Ask him, Lord, will you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, can I be with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he will answer, just as he did on that cross for this man. He will do that for you as well.
Yep. Amen.
And he's done it for us, and I'm in agreement. Mm-hmm. Sandy, amen, amen. It's so nice. Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And so what happens then is that we have, this is occurring, and he tells him where is he going to be today?
Where is he? In paradise.
Yeah. Okay. So he is going to go and actually be with him.
Mm-hmm. With Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
That's,
you know, yeah. And so their suffering is going to come to an end very mm-hmm. soon. And they are no longer going to be in that pain. And the other guy will be eternally separated.
Mm-hmm.
And the commentators are like, we don't know how fast after this is said before the temple splits in two. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know timing-wise. But it's nice to know that even on the deathbed, that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not by works.
No, it's not. It's not. As you were listening and reading this part and thinking through the glory, what stands out to you about the glory? As you look at the women and the thieves and Simon the Cyrene.
I think, well, if you're open that there is glory, you know, that your eyes are open then and your heart's open, and just like the thief.
Mm-hmm.
And the women had already acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I believe they were his
followers,
his faithful followers.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Looking through this and examining it, sometimes I think that we can get so caught up in what would be the things of what we think is important, the mob mentality, the what they were trying to fight for, and that we forget to have an eternal perspective. It's very temporal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you see a shift from the temporal to the eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And so a good thing for us to challenge ourselves as I read this is for us to be asking ourselves, am I, as I'm going about my day, going about my way, am I interacting with an eternal perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And when I have gotten off, and when I'm a part of the crowd, when I am a person who is determined against justice or whatever, mm-hmm. it's usually because I have forgotten my eternal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I have forgotten that a person is created in the image of God. I have forgotten that as being in the image of God, they're supposed to be glory revealers, that myself as being in the image of God, I am supposed to be a glory mm-hmm. revealer. And so taking the time to ask that question, because that's what did the trigger for him. He went from the temporal, I'm a mocker, and, you know, a criminal, I deserve this, to an eternal perspective. Wait, there's more than just what's happening here, and I want that more. And so I'd like to challenge those that are listening to think through how you can have the eternal perspective. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com or at opendoormission.org. God bless.